might have heard that the Metallica boys were gonna play some heavy shit tonight.
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast. This is another edition of Metal Tales from the Road. I am Ethan Luck, and this is a little bit late. We apologize to our listeners. This is the Grand Rapids show, and live on the phone via Skype from Kenosha, Wisconsin, we're talking to Jason Conforti. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. Am I saying your last name right, Conforti?
Conforti, yeah.
Conforti. Okay, cool. I was over-enunciating the T, just in case. Conforti. Well, cool. So you're in Kenosha, Wisconsin. How far is that from Grand Rapids?
It's right on the other side of Lake Michigan, actually. If I had to go through Chicago to get there, a few hours.
Okay. But if you had a boat, it'd be a lot quicker?
Yeah, it would have been way quicker on a boat. Kind of cold, though, in March.
What's it going to take for the state of Michigan is to build a couple bridges, man?
Yeah.
It'd be a lot easier. Well, cool, dude. Well, thanks for doing this. And yeah, let's just jump right into, you know, what we usually talk about with a lot of our guests here on Metal Tales is tell the good people that we're talking to here kind of your Metallica story when you came online, your first record you got, any details like that. Well, we'd love to hear.
Enter Sandman. I was like 11, so that was probably the first Metallica I heard. First album was Black Album. Got that shortly after. I got a story. I was taking guitar lessons, and the guitar teacher, he totally looked like James Hetfield.
Nice.
I was 12, and he's like, "What have you heard? Have you heard any Metallica?" And I was like, "Enter Sandman." He's like, "Oh no!" So he taught me one.
Right. So it was he? Did he seem like he was not into the Black Album or something?
Well, he looked like Black Album James, so he must have been.
he better have been if he looked like Black Album James. So was that the first song you learned on guitar? Was it One or Enter Sandman?
Yeah, One.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that was one of those songs as a guitar player when you're that age and you're still trying to figure out chords and how to play certain things. Most of that song seemed impossible when you first start, but the intro to One was like, I mean, it's like, oh man, this is like only like four or five notes, you know, seemed a lot easier.
That's what he taught me.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if I remember the first Metallica song I actually learned on guitar. It was probably One or Sanitarium or Fade to Black, because those are kind of all in the same positioning and aren't insanely difficult to play.
So then, like, high school, Fuel, and all that. Reload.
Yeah, very cool. So were you on board with those? Like, when you got the Black Album, when that came out, did you dip back into the early catalog before, like, Load and Reload came out?
No, I got into, like, early catalog, like, Garage Days.
Okay.
That's when I really got hooked on Metallica.
Yeah.
So Garage Inc.
Garage Inc., okay.
Yeah.
So with Load and Reload, did you buy those records? Were you into them?
Yeah, I did buy those.
Okay. But Garage Inc.
But Garage Inc. was, I was just like, wow. Then I wanted to see them live and all that.
So it seems like it took a few years to really, like, fully jump on the train.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then when I saw them live, it was all over.
Then it was over. Then it was like buying everything, all the records, getting everything that comes out.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Well, I mean, Garage Inc. is a cool thing to get into. I mean, it's all covers, but it was, you know, it was produced really well. It was still a Bob Rock production. You know, the cover choices were great. Plus, we got all those on the disc too. We got all those great, you know, B-sides from a lot of that Black Album stuff and Justice and all those covers they did back then. Plus, you know, they included the original Garage Days on there as well, which is always a nice treat. But yeah, that's a cool record to come on, you know, fully come online with, I guess.
Yeah, I love that record.
That's cool, man. So, Jason, how many shows have you seen?
16.
Damn, 16 already. That's awesome, man. What any very memorable ones that stand out to you?
My first show was the Millennium New Year's Eve show in Detroit.
Oh, cool.
So they started off "Die Die My Darling," and oh my god!
Place exploded a little bit.
Yeah, I've been hooked on Metallica concerts ever since then.
Man, that's great, dude. And so that was New Year's Eve, 99?
Yeah.
Awesome, man. That's so cool. What a cool show to see.
So I've been to basically all their tours since then and did the Big Four, did the Orion Fest.
You did Orion Fest in Detroit, I assume?
Yeah, and I did the one in Atlantic City.
Very cool. Man, I really wish they would do that again. That I never got to go, and that seemed like such a cool festival to be a part of.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did you go check out all the exhibits and stuff? Like, you know, Kirk's, what was it called?
Crypt.
The Crypt, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I checked it all out.
That's cool, man. Well, here's to hoping
they had all their cars there.
Oh, yeah, the Hot Rod thing with James. Yeah, all that stuff was very cool. And I liked it that it wasn't just like a metal festival. It was like it really showed their expansive taste in music by a lot of bands that they booked.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like a lot of different music, so that was cool.
Heck yeah, man. No, I mean, I think that's important, you know, in liking a band like this is, you know, paying attention to kind of what they're into. Other bands they like, whether it be openers or just bands they talk about or book at the Rhine Festival. And, you know, a lot of times it's bands like Metallica that help you discover other bands. I mean, I wouldn't know the Misfits if it wasn't for Metallica.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, right on, man. So before we jump into kind of the day in Grand Rapids, what would you say as of now? I know this can always change. To date, what is your favorite Metallica record?
Master of Puppets.
Puppets, okay.
Yeah.
Solid choice, mine too.
Yeah.
And then what? And so with Hardwired, were you like most of us pretty blown away when you first heard that record?
It's awesome. Yeah, it's rad.
What are some of your favorite tracks on that?
Halo, Atlas Rise. I like that.
Very cool. Yeah, man, it's a good, it's a solid record. I'm anxious to see with this SNM2 show what songs from Hardwire they're gonna, you know, turn into this symphony show. Hopefully,
I got a ticket. I got a ticket to that show.
You did? Awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up
for night two.
Yes.
Which I think that's shaping up to be the better of the two. I'm sure they'll both be awesome, but I think as far as fans go. I mean, it's like, you know, Met Club only kind of thing. So I'd imagine the crowd will be way more electric that night.
Yeah, they're going to be on their A game, too, on the second show.
For sure, yeah. We'll just call the first one the warm-up show.
Yeah. Second show is going to be the best.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to hear all about it and stuff. I didn't even bother trying for a ticket. I already know I'm going to be out of town. So unfortunately, I can't, you know, make it out to that thing. But man, when I saw that get announced and I saw what date it was, and I was like, of course, I'm going to be gone. But that's all good, man. So yeah, let's just jump into to your day in Grand Rapids. Obviously, this is fairly late on the Metal Tales series. We apologize. This was on March 13th, 2019. This is the last show of the North American tour, possibly the last show of the whole North America or Hardwired tour in America, if you don't count the S&M shows.
I wish they would do another year of it.
Yeah, I do too. I also, but at the same time, I feel like that year could be spent working on a new record too.
Yeah.
So
they didn't they didn't do an arena show in Chicago and, you know, all the big cities. They did the stadiums.
Right. Totally. Well, I think, you know, as far as, you know, when you're in a touring band, it's like especially a stadium tour, if you hit the surrounding area stadium like Chicago, you've kind of covered that because so many people can come. And I totally get wanting to see an arena show in that city, or maybe a city they didn't do one in. But I also thought it was cool they did a lot of like B markets too, you know, like, you know, Grand Rapids or Lubbock, Texas, things like that. So other people in those areas got a chance to see them too.
Yeah.
Grand Rapids, did you go with anybody? Did you participate in any pre-party stuff or hangouts before, you know, at a bar or anything? Or did you just head straight to the venue? Kind of talk us through that.
No, I just drove out there and I went by myself. It was a weekday.
Yeah.
Just ran over there. I got there just in time.
Oh, really? So you got there kind of like after doors open and stuff?
Yeah.
Are you a black ticket holder?
No.
Okay, and so you just had a normal ticket, no experiences or anything?
No, I had a floor ticket.
Okay, so you're on the floor. Did you at least kind of secure a decent spot? I know on this arena tour, for all that went to it, almost anywhere on the floor is a good view. You know, I know when we were in Nashville, we were back by Big Mick, and it still was an awesome view. So about how close do you think you were able to get?
I was like three people back. The floor was really wide open.
That's good.
I think they had like some fire code thing going on there.
Yeah, it's very possible. Certain venues are a little different, you know, if there's less exits or something. So I know, because I know some of them, I mean, Nashville felt pretty packed on the floor, but it's a lot, you know, the newer arena. I'm not sure how old the Grand Rapids one is, but I feel like there's probably a lot more fire exits. So they were able to pack in the floor a little bit more.
Yeah, and all the black ticket holders, they all dressed up and they all were standing back by Big Mick, so it kind of opened up the front too.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of photos of that. Like everyone put on suits and nice clothes for the last show and stuff.
Yeah. So they weren't all on the rail, which made, you know, it was easier to get up there.
That's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, that's nice of them to free up the rail for the last show for everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. Do you know any of those black ticket holders? Are you kind of involved in a chapter or just online or anything like that? Or are you kind of a lone Metallica fan just going to see the show?
Yeah, I know. I've been going to all these shows for so long. I kind of know these people, you know?
Right. Totally. Well, that's cool. Yeah. There's a lot of them out there. We've met, you know, in the 2.5 years of doing this podcast, you know, just we've kind of become friends with, and you know, met Club Mike and Sarah Sobeck and Pete Sobeck, all that stuff. And it's a cool.
Yeah, it's all the usual suspects at these shows.
Totally, man. Well, hey, listen, if I had a black ticket and was able to travel around for a month in my car to see every show, I would do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I gotta go on the road and play music and. I just made that sound like it was a bad thing. That's an amazing thing, but that's the reason I can't go do that kind of stuff. But you know, I was glad to see four shows on the tour. You know, even if I would have just seen one, I would have been happy. But four was great. How many did you see just on the Hardwired tour?
I saw Milwaukee, and then the stadium. I did Chicago.
Okay, awesome. And then Grand Rapids. So you did three total on this one?
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Yeah, it's fun. It's kind of fun to see the stadium and the arena, just to see the difference in production and video content, all that stuff. And I thought they did a good job of catering to how big or small the crowds were, depending on which size or venue they're in.
Yeah, I like the arena shows.
Yeah, the arenas are pretty cool.
You're so close, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the stadium. I was on the floor for both stadium shows I saw, and I was not crazy close. And you know, they were little tiny people up on that stage, but the whole production of it though was so overwhelming and huge, and those screens were so massive, and the pyro was amazing. That you know, I think they did everything they could to make sure everyone in that stadium got a kick-ass show for, you know, not being right up close.
Yeah, and it's awesome just seeing Metallica outside in the summer. It's nice out.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Absolutely, man. Well, anything else pre-set list you want to add? What are your thoughts on Jim Brewer? Let's talk about that.
I don't really dig it.
No, you would.
It's all right.
Would you rather had a band?
Yeah, I'd rather have like some crazy death metal band or something.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Yeah.
I feel like that would like make a band's career. You know, just right. have going out with Metallica.
Sure. Absolutely, it could. Yeah. I mean, I think you know, it seems like it was they wanted to try something different. You know, they're friends with Jim and. I mean, I wonder if the original idea was, you know, an evening with Metallica where there's no opener at all. It's just them. And maybe that was the original idea. And they thought, well, we got to have something. So maybe that's why they ended up choosing Jim to do like a warm up set and get the crowd hyped. But I like that aspect of it where even myself, you know, having seen footage of him performing and hearing from other people about his set, you know, I did like that. Like he definitely got the crowd hyped and ready to go for the show.
Yeah, and he also he brought Lars on screen, and Lars said something to Black Ticket holders, and they all got a gift.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I know that Met Club Mike had seen every show on the whole run, and I think they posted about him on Instagram and in his suit and stuff like that. He got a little gift for making it to every single show, which is pretty cool.
I think they all got gifts.
All the Black Ticket holders. Well, that's got even better.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, let's just you want to go ahead and hop into the set list here, and you can kind of walk us through it, and you know, any notable things during the set list, man. Just feel free to just pour your heart out.
All right.
So obviously, you know, get the AC/DC tune playing. We know what's coming. Ecstasy of Gold starts. This is your 16th show.
Yeah.
And then how are you feeling when Ecstasy of Gold starts? Are you still just as excited as every time you've seen them before?
It's kind of wore off, but yeah, I still get fired up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the first few times.
Well, have you,
I had some young guys next to me.
Yeah.
They never saw Metallica before. So they were pretty excited.
It was their
excited.
First time. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's rad, man. It's cool to see that at shows. I saw that a couple times even before. James will point out, like, you know, young fans and old fans, just to look over and see, like, you know, a dad with his kid who's like, you know, 8 or 9 years old, and he's got his, you know, earplugs in or his noise canceling headphones on, and seeing Metallica for the first time and just seeing the look on their face, like, just in awe, like, because this, you know, they're now growing up with Metallica, and it's cool to see. I wish I saw him at that age.
Yeah, those kids are pretty lucky they got parents to take them to that.
Yeah, no joke. I'm pretty sure my parents were like, no, I'm not sure. That's also, you know, I think we're around the same age. You know, I think back then, you know, some of our parents didn't really understand what was happening with that kind of music at that point, you know, because it was all still fairly new to them. So it was a little scary for them to let us go to a show. I remember asking to go to the Guns N' Roses Metallica tour, and my parents were like, no, that's not happening. But now my dad, you know, if I talk to him now, he'd be like, yeah, I don't know why I said no. I should have just let you go. So
Metallica was crazier back in the day. Though,
yeah. Yeah, you know? For sure. They definitely were.
I kind of miss, James swearing at me and stuff.
he's dad James these days, man.
I
think it's cool. You know, he's got his dad jokes. He's, you know, but I've said on the show before, you know, I think if James would have kind of stayed that person, I don't know if we'd have Metallica anymore. You know, if he stayed, you know, not sober and all that stuff and kind of kept living hard and playing hard, you know, would just killed his voice, you know, killed his liver, you know, there's a good chance we may not have, you know, Metallica now.
When I saw him on the Madly in Anger tour.
Yeah.
He was still getting after it back then, yelling at us and stuff. But he just doesn't do that shtick anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. He's on to the dad jokes shtick.
Yeah, he's all about that.
Hey, I like it. I think it's funny. You know, they're still playing great, and they still look great, and the whole show sounds amazing, so I'm happy. But into the set list here. This has been the staple since the beginning of this album cycle, the 1-2 punch from Hardwired into Atlas Rise. Had you been following the set list throughout the shows at this point?
Yeah, I know what they're going to play.
Okay. So, but still.
Yeah, those two songs are awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, easily two of the best songs on that record. And, I mean, how when they kind of started these two tunes, I mean, was the crowd pretty explosive, or how was their vibe?
They were pretty fired up. I've seen crazier shows, but it wasn't bad. Usually, shows in Michigan people are pretty wild in Michigan.
Right, totally. Well, I know I've always, you know, in bands I play, anytime I've gone through Michigan, it's always been good shows, whether it's Detroit or Grand Rapids or Ann Arbor. Always a good time. You know, I always get a little bummed when I hear that Metallica's, you know, started their set in some city, and you know, whoever we talked to were like, yeah, the crowd was just kind of okay at this point. I'm like, dude, you're watching Metallica. Like, you're supposed to lose your mind.
Yeah, Michigan, they do it. They know what they're doing.
That's good. Awesome. Well, so then we jump into old school Seek and Destroy. Always a good choice. I mean, I almost wish this was a rotating slot for Kill 'Em All. I know they have one later, but you know, I'd love to hear like Four Horsemen right here or something too.
I feel like they gotta play Seek and Destroy though every show. They've been playing it for so long, you know.
Oh, for sure. I'm just saying, you know, maybe a little rotation every once in a while, but you know, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I mean, Seek and Destroy is a staple of Kill 'Em All, and I'd say probably the most kind of fan interactive song on that record, where you know people get, you know.
I think it's kind of a little break for them too. It's super easy to play, you know.
Yeah, not crazy high for James's vocals and stuff. It's, you know, especially coming out of Hardwire and Atlas Rise too. It's a quick little breather.
Yeah, I think that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's why they used to do it at the end of the shows too, just to like
wind down.
They would do like they used to do like 10-minute versions of that song.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it can be a bit of a wind down song for them, you know, a little break, which is cool. I mean, listen, you're playing that kind of music in your 50s, man. You need a break from time to time.
Yeah, they do.
So slot four is kind of this rotating slot that's been a lot of different songs, and you got the Memory Remains, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. I've seen it a few times now.
Yeah. Yeah, I got this in Birmingham, I think, when me and Clint went down. And this is one that until then I had not seen live, so I was pretty ecstatic to see them play this one live.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome, man. And was there
everybody was singing it pretty good.
Oh yeah, I mean this is such a good sing along song for Metallica, especially the Marianne Faithful part at the very end. Was there anything that like was normally in the slot four that you were hoping for, or were you cool with Memory Remains?
I was fine with it. Whatever they're gonna play, I mean, I'm not gonna get mad about it. You know?
You're just along for the ride. You're just whatever you play, I'll enjoy it.
I was listening to the recording before I came on with you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, everybody was singing it really good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So did you download the show that you went to?
Yeah, I did.
Awesome. Did you do that?
I'm all about that the live Metallica now.
Yeah, totally, man. Do you have all the shows you've been to?
Most of them.
That's awesome. Yeah.
The indoor shows sound way better than the outdoor shows.
Right.
These recordings. Yeah.
Totally. Well, the cool thing is they've got, you know, Greg Fiddleman's team kind of mixing these after the fact, which is good. You know, they're not just throwing out the board mix straight from, you know, the arena. You know, got to put a little TLC on these things, you know, because it's a live setting and you got, you know, things bleeding into other mics. You got to kind of isolate if you can and make it sound, you know, top notch for all the fans like yourself to download.
Yeah.
All right, so then moving on, we got the Unforgiven. Of course, always a staple, I guess. They're probably always going to play this song.
Yeah, I've heard it a bunch of times now.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's always great. The one thing I do miss is when Hetfield used to do the intro on electric. I mean, the acoustic sounds cool, don't get me wrong. But in older footage, you'll find him doing that intro on electric guitar, and it sounded cool because it was a little different from the record.
He's got the acoustic up there now.
Yeah, and that one is the one he plays. It's I think it's called the Variax, and it's all like MIDI controlled to where he can make that one guitar sound like a nylon string, a 12 string, normal 6 string, which is kind of cool. I guess, you know, I think the idea behind that is just, you know, bringing, you know, less guitars on the road. You know, if he wanted a 12 string part, like for Fade to Black, he'd have to bring another 12 string plus like a backup. And so it's like, you know, one guitar can kind of cover all those acoustic parts if he needs to, which is pretty rad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. How's the band playing at this point in the set?
They sound good every night. They're kicking ass.
Yeah. That's cool, man. I love that they're at the age they are, man, and they're still getting out there and giving it their all, you know. Can't complain whatsoever. moving on to Now That We're Dead. This has been a staple for the entire tour. Your thoughts on the drum circle?
It's way better in the arena than it was in the stadium.
Yeah, totally. I'm with you.
I actually liked it in the arena. It was a little break, you know?
Yeah.
Of a little break for everybody. I don't know.
Well, you know, at this point, it's not only a break for the guys in the band, but, you know, it kind of like brings it down just a little bit. You know, it gets some crowd interaction involved with, you know, them getting the crowd to chant, hey, you know, and the guys look like they're having a blast doing it. So I'm all about it now.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. They come right out the stage now.
Yeah. It was a little weird, I thought, on the stadium tour. Maybe it was just because you're so far back and it's just, you know, you have to watch the video screens. And this one felt it felt better, especially when you're close to the stage or on the rail.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I liked it.
Right, totally. So slot 7 and 8 here are what, sometimes there's 3 in a row, but this one you get 2 from Fade to Black. I'm sorry, Fade to Black, from Ride the Lightning, Fade to Black excluded. Creeping Death into Bells. How were these? How was the crowd on these ones when they kicked into Creeping Death?
Creeping Death is awesome. It's one of their best songs.
Absolutely.
I had those kids next to me that never been to a Metallica show, so they got to chant "Die." They liked it. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, they were. I bet they were losing it for sure. That's cool. It's just cool to see, man. It's cool to see, you know, another generation getting into the band we love, and you know, they're sitting there basically acting like we would have been if it was our first time. You know, I remember the first time I saw them, I was freaking out every song. You know.
Yeah.
And I was like 30 years old when I saw them for the first time.
Yeah, it's so fun yelling "Die."
Oh yeah, dude. No, it's one of the, you know, a couple moments in the set where the entire crowd, I mean, everyone's kind of singing along, but when that comes on, it's like everyone is yelling at the top of their lungs, and it's just, I mean, I can't imagine like the local security and like ushers in the arenas like have never listened to Metallica before. All of a sudden there's like 20,000 people chanting "Die." They're like, "Oh my god. Why did I decide to work tonight?"
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Freaking those people out.
Yeah. And Bells, you know, again, Robert, I think, just totally kills the song. Does a great job.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Well, speaking of bass, let me ask you this. What which bass player is kind of your guy? Like Rob, Cliff, Jason, Ron?
Jason.
You're a Jason guy? Okay. Probably because you came online in that era, I assume.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Cliff is incredible and left a gigantic everlasting mark in Metallica, but good old Jason, man, he, you know, did a lot of time in the band, and he was, you know, I always kind of call him like the hype man of Metallica. He's like the Flavor Flav of Metallica. He's got the crowd going.
Yeah, he could sing.
Yeah, totally, so man. Absolutely. Well, what's cool?
James could totally use some help sometimes. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, Jason had that down, man. He was really good at that stuff. So you got what they only played a couple times in the last, you know, week or two of this North American tour. You got Here Comes Revenge.
Yes, that was awesome.
Was that was that kind of the highlight for you, you think?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was really good.
Because this is probably only the
I liked it live better than I did on the album. It was like, it was really good.
That's awesome.
James sang it really good, and it was good.
Awesome. And the band sounded tight on it.
Yeah, they were good.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, they've only got two more songs to debut from Hardwired. I'm anxious to see if they do that before the whole album cycle's done.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
We will see. Time will tell. We get into Doodle World, which sometimes can be a little weird, but they're having fun. And it seems like this night was probably rad. They did Eye of the Beholder and We're an American Band, which is a Michigan reference there.
Yeah, James sang it.
Oh, James sang it?
Yeah.
Wow.
He had no guitar. It was weird. He was standing up there singing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he must be a big Grand Funk Railroad fan, you know?
It was good. It was awesome.
It occasionally happens, you know? I think it happened in Birmingham. But yeah, usually that's his time to take a breather. But I think if it's a song he loves enough, he's going to get out there and, you know, join in with the boys.
Yeah, I was surprised that he went out there.
That's really cool, man. Was it cool to hear them do a bit of Eye of the Beholder?
Yeah, it was awesome. That's a sweet, sweet song.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, because usually there's not a lot of, you know, Justice love other than one, and, you know, if they do Blackened on the encore, which we'll get to in a bit. So it's cool when they kind of, you know, when they do that. In Nashville, they did, they started playing Dyer's Eve, which is really cool.
Yeah, I saw them play Dyer's Eve.
And that's awesome.
Four.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Well then, so Anesthesia, what are your feelings on Rob's version of it and how he does it?
It's awesome. I like the screens and stuff. They got Cliff up there. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's always a nice tribute, man. And Robert does it, I mean, I think more than justice when he plays it. You know, he's such a phenomenal bass player. In general,
yeah, he plays everything perfect. I feel like.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think at this point he can probably play that in his sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, so slot 10 here, you got a nice little gem with Phantom Lord.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
That's awesome. How was the crowd on that one? Because sometimes they could definitely be a little less engaged because it's like a deep cut from the first record. But did it seem like people
were? Yeah, they were. That did happen. They were a little less engaged, but
yeah, the Black Album crowd was like, I don't know this song.
Yeah, I had some Black Album crowd people in front of me. I was like, what are you doing?
Like, play Enter Sandman.
Yeah, they were excited when they played it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, you know, I mean, there's probably other songs they know. Memory Remains, Unforgiven, obviously, you know, maybe even Creeping Death, you know, but Phantom Lord is a bit of a deep cut if you're not like a full-on diehard, you know.
Yeah, right. A lot of people never heard that were there. That's
yeah,
for sure.
A lot, you know, I'm sure a lot of people that maybe got, came in line with the Black Album and got way into that. Maybe they like Load and Reload and then maybe got off the train for a while until Hardwired. Maybe they never really dove into, like, you know, Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning. I don't know. But yeah, I think, yeah, you can probably, like you said, you can tell in the crowd, like, they play Phantom Lord. It's like, you know, not everyone knows this song, actually. I mean, I know it, but. All right, moving into Fuel. I think one of their best live songs, especially when that pyro starts firing.
Yes, that is definitely one of my favorite live songs.
Well, they play it so much faster too.
It's awesome. It's so awesome.
Yeah, man.
That fire. Oh my God. It's better in the stadium though.
Oh, the stadium. I mean, they can get away with a lot more being fully outdoors, you know, but,
yeah,
it looks great on stage though, with all this, you know, with the, those cubes look amazing, and the, when the pyro comes, I think this is usually the first song of the whole set where there's actual pyro.
Yeah, this little arena show, not a lot of pyro.
Yeah, not nearly as much. But still some really cool stuff. I mean, I think they used it sparingly, you know, and you can only nowadays, you know, you can't do the kind of pyro you used to be able to do because of fire codes and stuff. But no, the fuel one is always great. And I mean, I don't know how they would ever play fuel without flames flying out of the stage. You know, it'd look kind of weird.
Yeah. They all get ready. They're all standing on the edge of the stage just like,
Oh, yeah, I'm sure James is like, I'm not leaving this position because after what happened back in the day. Yeah. I'm sure he still makes him nervous about it. I mean, I would be. If I got freaking burned up by pyro on stage of my own show, that would always be in the back of my mind when I knew there was still pyro on stage. I'd be like, well, I'm just not going to go anywhere near that.
Absolutely. The only person that doesn't really have to worry is Lars. He just sits there.
Right. Yeah. The only thing you have to worry about is if something went wrong and the pyro like changed directions. That's about it. But he's got to be hot though. Like on fuel. I mean, there's points where like flames are like all around his drum kit, like within a few feet. And if you've been on the floor, even 10 feet back, 20 feet back, you can feel the heat from those flames in a second.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's cooked. He's cooking up there.
Absolutely. I'll take one Lars. Well done, please. All right. So then we get Moth into Flame. We get the awesome drones that start flying around. And I think those things look so cool, especially if you're a little further back and you can't quite tell they're drones. You just see the light that's on them. They look so neat, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're rad. The drones are sweet. Yeah, both times I was on the opposite side of the stage, so I was kind of far back from them.
Right. Well, like I said, sometimes when you're further back, it looks a little cooler. We all know they're drones now, but they're so small. Like when I was up on the rail in Birmingham, like looking up at them, it was like it looked cool still, but you can obviously see the little propellers and stuff. But having stood back in Nashville, it was really cool just to see these just beams of light flying around. I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. Are you a big fan?
They don't even have to do stuff like that, but they do it. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, they don't. I mean, they can get on stage and play with no lights and the house lights on, and people are still going to show up and sell the place out. You know, I think their whole thing was probably like, all right, we got to figure out kind of how to do some of the production or, like, you know, I guess maybe, like, give the arena fans a treat like the stadium people got, but on a much smaller scale. So it's cool that they're doing that kind of stuff on the arenas.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's awesome.
Totally. So kind of, you know, the usual rounding out after, with you know, including Moth into Flame, you know, the main set. We go into Sabbat True, One and Puppets. Can't go wrong with any of these. I feel like these are all staples. Obviously, One and Puppets are. Anything notable during these that stands out to you?
One is way better in the stadium, that's for sure. They like blow the hell out of the stadium.
Yeah,
you know, stage.
They
it doesn't have nearly the same effect in this little arena tour.
Right, totally. Yeah, I mean, much smaller stage. You know, you're dealing with you know, a place with a ceiling. But yeah, I mean, God, the stadium one. It was like those lasers were pointing down. I mean, so many explosions and fire, and it was just like. It was like almost twice as long as the actual intro to the song. It was really cool.
Yeah, there was like a helicopter flying around and stuff, it looked like. It was
Yeah, it was awesome. Plus, you had those gigantic screens on the stadium tour. You had so much room on those screens to work with to throw up graphics and things like that. So it really looked cool. But it's still, you know, One is still a staple. It's still, you know, I get super excited anytime I hear it, whether it's an arena or a stadium.
In the past, in these arena shows, when they would do One, they would clear the stage and blow it up.
Yeah.
But they just didn't do it this time.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was mostly.
But they used to do it in the arenas.
Right, right. But still, yeah, you know, it's still One, but I still love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And just
and
so,
the Master of Puppets kills every time.
Oh, every time, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with Master of Puppets. I mean, I don't see why they would never not play it. Did at any point James have the crowd sing the chorus, or did he do it?
I don't even remember. I think he did.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes he'll do that, like when you listen to the first S&M, you know, he has the crowd sing the chorus, you know, which is cool. I mean, I want to hear James sing it, but it's also one of those moments that's kind of fun between all the fans, kind of like the Die chant, you know, everyone's singing all this, you know, super loud together. And yeah, I know recently James will, on the last chorus, will kind of grab the mic and hold it out towards the crowd, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how he handled it this time.
Yeah. Well, so moving into the encore, was there a certain song you were hoping for? Because this first slot of the encore has always been a rotating slot.
Yeah, I wanted Black and Her Battery, and all I got right. Black.
So you got
it. I was happy.
Yeah. Nice. Had you seen Spit Out the Bone yet?
Yes, they did play that in Milwaukee.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, man, that's the one I haven't seen yet.
You haven't seen Blackened?
No. Spit Out the Bone.
Oh, you haven't seen Spit Out the Bone.
No, all the...
Yeah, Spit Out the Bone. Blackened is so good.
Of course, oh, yeah. No, all four shows I saw on this tour were either Blackened or Battery, which I'm not complaining.
Yeah, don't complain.
Yeah, no, not at all. I had my fingers crossed for Spit Out the Bone. I just wanted to see it one time, but, you know, there's still time. Like, there's still a band. I can see it again.
Spit was okay.
Yeah.
But Blackened Battery is just, oh my God.
Yeah.
So over the top. You know?
I know. You can't really mess with those. So, yeah, rounding out the set with the usual Nothing Else Matters into Sandman. I've always liked Nothing Else Matters. I think it's a great song. I love James's solo. How were these ones for you? Do they play them well, crowd into it?
Yeah, they were awesome. They play them perfect, and the crowd loves them.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, we're kind of they play them every time, you know.
Yeah. I mean, what can you really say about songs they play every show? Yeah, man.
But you know, like the new people and stuff, they got to hear that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, you know, when a song like Enter Sandman takes your band from being a very popular band to being like the most popular band. You know, you can't not play it. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. I'm glad you got to see your 16th show. Anything else notable from the set that you remember that you want to point out, or was it just a kick-ass set?
It was awesome. I mean, I don't know.
What more to say? that's sometimes you just got to walk away from a show and just say, hey, you know what? That was awesome.
It was awesome.
And it was
a long drive home.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you drove home that night?
Yeah, took off.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, it's fun to leave a show like that because you're kind of buzzing for a little bit. But, you know, once you hit like hour two, then you start to like wind down. You know, I know that when me and Clinton Paul went to Detroit, I guess it was 2 years ago. We were like, we're going to make the drive home. And it's like 8 hours from Nashville. We made it about an hour and then stopped at Taco Bell. And immediately we're like, oh, we're getting a hotel. This is not happening. Well, cool, man. Well, Jason, I can't thank you enough for doing this, man. You know, sorry to all the listeners for this being so delayed, but we made it happen.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Heck yeah, man.
Keep up the show. It's awesome.
Oh, dude, we will, man. I'm actually going to Clint's shortly after I hang up with you to record next Monday's episode.
Awesome. Cool.
Well, sweet,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, thanks again, man.
Hey, it's Clint from Metal Up Your Podcast, and we hope you're enjoying the Metal Tales from the Road series. If you've been keeping up with us, then you already know that we've covered every stop on the 2018-2019 North American Arena Tour, and we look forward to catching up with all of our European friends later this year on the Stadium Tour overseas. And there's more! After the Stadium Tour, we are continuing the Metal Tales series for any Metallica show in the past. Maybe you saw one of the Orion Festivals. Maybe you were at the Channel in 1984 and Cliff Burton bought you a beer. Maybe you were at one of the 30th anniversary shows, or you just saw a regular-ass show in North Dakota somewhere. We want to hear from you. Since Ethan and I started Metal Up Your Podcast, we've wanted to find a way for listeners to call in and share their stories. Well, this is it. To make yourself eligible for a future or past Metal Tales episode, please consider joining us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you not only get to come on the show as a guest, You also get both of our Cover Our World Blackened EPs, monthly giveaways like deluxe box sets, rare vinyl, posters, and other goodies. You get early access to our YouTube videos, and we also let you ask our guests like Ray Burton, Michael Wagner, Hailstorm, members of Slipknot, your very own questions. For what essentially amounts to 2 cups of coffee a month, you can ensure that Metal Up Your Podcast continues to grow in quality and content. For any of you on the ride with us, we love you, we thank you, peace and adios.
I